Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 127. The book of Psalm 127, and until we get to Genesis, at least for me, I'm just going to be sharing more or less my own devotions with you guys. So Psalm 127, this is something I've been really reading and praying and thinking about quite a bit, actually. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. Psalm 127 is a Psalm of Solomon. It's a song of ascent. It's meant to be sung, basically. And the general theme of this is prosperity. And prosperity in a couple of different senses. Prosperity in the sense of wealth, one prosperity. Prosperity also in the sense of protection, which also deals with wealth in a way, and I'll explain what that means. And then prosperity in the sense of offspring. Okay, so these are kind of the three areas by which he's referring to this thing, Solomon. And so he starts off and says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, obviously, none of us here are carpenters. We're not really building a house or anything like that. But for me, I take this, apply this more in terms of my pastoral work and that we're building a church. And he says there that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, those who build it. This has been a really, a kind of important verse for me these days, because I think maybe in some ways I've been putting a lot of pressure on myself. I don't really think it's the Lord, so obviously it's myself. And so really related to, our church plant in Singapore. And so, I've been busting my butt and traveling and one of the big things right now is kind of everything is all set up, but they don't have a pastor yet to pastor the church. And so I've been really, working overtime and try to provide that for them in some way. And so I find myself at odds with myself. And I keep coming back to this, and I said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Right, this is God's church. It's God's business, and I can try to do everything on my own strength. And most of us are really good at doing stuff like that. And this could be related to your work, or it could be related to relationships. It could be related to trying to get a promotion. It could be related to things in your family. And this psalm is really a psalm for us to take a step back and to really trust God in whatever is going on in our life. And just simply say, if really, unless the Lord is building the house, then no matter what we do is in vain. No matter how hard we work, no matter how little we work, unless God is the one that's doing this, it becomes very difficult. And then he continues on and says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. This is also dealing with prosperity. Prosperity, like when we think of the blessing of God in terms of prosperity in this way, material prosperity, you can think of it in a couple different ways. You can think of prosperity as stuff coming in, your salary, maybe blessings and different things that are happening, and that's one way to look at it. But I think there's another way you need to look at it as well. You could look at it in the less amount of things going out. And I think that's also a sign of prosperity. I'll give you a case in point. When a while back, when my parents, I grew up pretty wealthy. My parents' business tanked. The whole economy in California, all these things happened. And so, we were out without insurance. There wasn't that much money coming in during these few years when we went through hardship. But when I look back, and actually this is around the time, shortly afterwards, that I became a Christian, and definitely my dad changed during this time. We notice in the idea of prosperity, maybe there wasn't that much stuff coming in, but guess what? There was nothing that was going out. In other words, during these like 3-year phase, no car accidents, no medical injuries of any sort, you know, in the sense that there was money that we'd have to pay for things, and which is kind of unheard of during this phase because, you know, I mean, with our family, especially my mom, there's a lot of illness issues and whatnot. And I realized that there's another side to prosperity as well. It's not so much things coming in. It's not so much that your salary is so high, but it's all those unexpected expenses almost disappear. And that's another way that God is prosperous towards his people. That, again, it may not be a lot of input incoming, but there's not much outgoing as well. And I think that's really also the blessing of God. And that's kind of what he's saying here when he talks about the city. Right? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. In other words, there's not going to be a deficit. There's not going to be, obviously, in one sense, death and these kind of things that run amok in your town, in your city, in this regard. But it's dealing with, there's not a lot of outgoing things that are happening here. And so I think that's a better way to look at kind of God's provision for us. I think a lot of times we look at provision as only something that's incoming. You need to have a wider grasp of that. And just think about things that are outgoing. Man, you know, you haven't been sick in a long time. You haven't had to go see a doctor. You haven't had any accidents. You hadn't had any expenses that are kind of sapping life out of you. Your tax bill comes and it's super, super low. These things are also can be considered the blessings of God. Obviously, you know, incoming is always good, right? I mean, we always receive and whatnot. But there's a whole other side. There could be you didn't get ripped off when you had to get your car fixed, or you didn't get ripped off when you know, different things happen in your life, and that's also the blessing of the Lord in that regard. So unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late. The idea of retire late is the literal translation is delay sitting. It's just kind of keep up. It's not necessarily talking about like you're working late in the hours, even though that could be a thing, but you just kind of like, it's more the idea of worrying. And so it's like you can't go to sleep because you're worrying about this or that. So it's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. And so you work so hard and on. Because why? Because he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Even when we sleep, this is the Lord can do this. His prosperity comes from the Lord. The generosity of God really flows from him. It's not, and if you really wrap your brain around this, I think it changes the way that you work. Right? In terms of like your company or your job, your boss doesn't pay your salary. I mean, the company may be writing the check, but it's the Lord who provides. And when you have that idea that really goes into, then you basically work without fear. You know, most people in their jobs, they're always jockeying for position. You know, they're always trying to make a play and make themselves look better and all these, especially when it comes close to bonus time. But your boss is God. It totally changes your perspective, and it should change the way that you work. You should no longer be fear-based. You should be grace-based. And he says, for he gives to his beloveds even in his sleep. Even when they're asleep, God can add to your number. God can do things when you're totally at rest compared to waking up early, going to bed at night, unable to sleep, unable to rest. You're worrying about all these things. And he says, man, even in your sleep, God says, I'm able to increase these things in your life. So prosperity in the sense of adding, prosperity in the sense of not much outgoing, and then prosperity in the sense of offspring. He says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Verse 4 is actually a messianic literature. This is in Isaiah, this is what will be said about the Messiah. It's the same kind of imagery that's happening here, and also in other passages as well. And so this idea, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. A quiver is basically a case where they held the arrows. So if you ever watch Robin Hood and these stories where, you know, a lot of archery, the quiver is actually the case. And what it's basically saying is, man, how blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them, who basically has a lot of children. There's something blessed about that. And it says, they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And the idea of children, especially in terms of, the word is enemy, right? The idea of children is talking about it's generational. And so what it means is when you're encountered with your enemy at the gate was kind of court in that sense, that there was this sense of like, I'm going to continue to, I'm not going to end here. It's the legacy of who I am is going to continue to go forward through the children. And it's really a simple idea. That's why in the, during these times, one of the worst things that can happen during this time is for you to be barren. And you see barrenness throughout the scriptures as this huge curse that's on people. And that's what they literally felt. They literally felt they were cursed because they were barren. And it created all kinds of different things. Now, I know in our day and time that a lot of people choose to be barren. In other words, they choose not to have kids, and I'm not saying any commentary about that today, but it's just during these days that's kind of what it meant. And so the fact that you had a lot of kids, number one, was also express your wealth, your prosperity, that you're able to have many children. I think, especially in a context like here in Hong Kong, and especially in China, that's very much the case, right? I mean, you're allowed to have one child. I mean, not in Hong Kong, in China, right? You're allowed to have one child, but then if you were able to pay the taxes and pay the duty, then you could have more kids. And it was a sign of your wealth and your prosperity. And so that's one side, but it's really talking about more of a generational thing. And if you think in terms of an army or whatnot, if you want to look later on, Amos 5 begins to give this picture of the virgin Israel. And it would say, Israel's a virgin. Oh, it's too bad. In other words, there's no children to carry on. And this is kind of the same idea that, man, there's no children to carry on in that regard. Again, like I said, I'm sharing more of my devotions with you guys. And the thing that I've been really wrestling with, and you know, I shared in the first part about the Lord building a house and me not trying to build a house, right? Letting God do it. I'm in partnership with God, but usually the partnership doesn't really work that way if I'm trying to do everything and kind of leaving God to the side. But the other side of that, too, is because we've been thinking a lot about children. And, our third one is in school now, and there's a little bit more freedom. You know, I'm getting old. I should say older. My wife's getting older as well. And so we're really wrestling. You know, I literally, like, every week I change my mind. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the clinic, and I'm going to get snipped 1 week. I actually plan to do that after the retreat. Obviously, I haven't done it yet because then it's like, oh, maybe we should have another kid. No, I'm gonna go get snipped. You know, maybe we should, I'm just going back and forth. So I've been thinking in that context, in just a very superficial context. But more than that, I've been thinking about my kids and this whole idea. And this is the way I've always looked at this passage: is, you know, let your quiver be full of them, and it's really about equipping them, and eventually just shooting them out into the world. And I've always, you know, you guys have heard about, you know, the seven mountains or the seven spheres, as Lauren Cunningham talks about, you know, commerce, education, government, church or religion, and all these things, arts and entertainment. And so I've been thinking about the purposes, you know, for my children and my responsibility, let the quiver be full of them. But more than that is my responsibility as a parent is to raise them and train them so that one day I can take them out of my quiver and shoot them out into the world, out into different areas, different sectors of society, that they can prosper and they can really make an impact. And obviously, the more arrows you have, the better in that regard. And this is why, you know, I keep changing my mind all the time. But it is, you know, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And our children, I mean, raised in the image of God, raised under the commandments of the Lord, man, these are weapons against the enemy. That's why the idea of family is so precious. This is why the enemy works overtime to try to disrupt family life by so many different things. Because family, especially when we talk about kingdom of God, is so important. By raising a good family, by having a happy marriage, I'm not going to use the word happy, by having a good marriage, a loving marriage, and by raising kids well, that grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and that embody the character of the Lord, and you know, all these wonderful things, man, that is one of the highest forms of spiritual warfare. I mean, we always think about warfare in terms of fighting demons and all these things. Man, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And it's something about raising our kids well and whatnot that really impact spiritual warfare in a lot of ways. Just think about this. Simply the fact that you have the ability to raise your kids well, and I want to draw this in a bigger plane, and not just your own kids, but raise the kids in your community. That would be Noah's Ark, Sunday school, youth group. Your ability to raise these kids well, you deal a huge blow to the enemy. Can you imagine? Think about it in this context. You raise your kids well, just think about how much less counseling they'll need as they grow up. Think about all the issues. And because those issues or those hurts or, you know, those things that happen to them in their youth, they turn into sin later on, right? You know, your kids, I think I've got three daughters. My daughters are neglected by me, and they feel unloved by me, you know, as by the father and all these things. Guess what? They're going to go seek after male affection. And most likely, they're going to seek male affection from a bunch of idiots that give it so freely, but there's no substance there. You guys understand what I mean? And the ability for me, just in simply my own family, to love my three daughters and to care for them and let them know that they're special and let them know that they're unique and let them know that they are loved by God, man, just saves so much heartache. With this said, you can be the best parent in the world and do all that, and your kids still be a knucklehead. It's just one of those things that happens, okay? And so you know, if you have knucklehead kids or whatnot, it doesn't mean the parents were that bad. Sometimes it happens. Look at Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham did, you know, from what I read, a very good job as a parent. Maybe he worked a little too much. But he had a son that just became a drug addict and, I mean, just fell away and all. Now he came back to the Lord, and he's an incredible man of God now. This is Franklin Graham, if you ever read any of the biographies. But yet, you know, we see these things happening. And so just the ability that you have as parents, and I guess not just in your own home, but also in the church, and your love and care for kids, and your love and care for the little ones and toddlers. And really, I think the huge burden, and really more than that, the joy of the church, is to be such good examples of Christ. And, you know, and if you come to a baby dedication, and we're actually going to have one in December soon, and if you come to the service, I mean, you hear some of the words that I say, and I really mean it. It's a very simple thing that we live our life in such a way in front of our kids at Noah's Ark, so that when it's their time to follow Christ, and when it's their time to make a decision for Christ, they just say, sure, of course. I want to become a Christian because my Uncle Tom You know, I mean, he's so happy and he's so joyful and he's lived such a good example. You know, my auntie this and, you know, all the brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles in the church, they see the Christian life lived out. And then, so they don't have to come to that age of accountability and say, what's a Christian? Well, what does a Christian life look like? I mean, we go to church, but man, that guy's a jerk. You know, that guy's really mean, and he's, you know, I mean, people are fighting in church. You know what I mean? This kind of stuff. That's just a bad witness for our kids. But we live our life in such a way that our kids grow up, and they get to that place, that age of accountability, they say, yeah, of course I want to be a Christian. Right? I mean, I've worshipped with my aunts and uncles, and man, being a Christian is awesome. Right? This is great, you know, doing outreach and going on mission trips and, you know, following Christ and all these things. This is so wonderful. Of course I'll be a Christian, you know, and you don't have to do all this. Well, you know, the church is full of sinners and you know, have this talk that you have with a lot of your friends and whatnot, dealing with hypocrisy. That's why it's important for us to live a righteous life. It's not just for us. You know, and it's not just for God, it's for other people, really, that are around us, so they could see Christ living in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? So, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, they shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. All right, so let's close our eyes. Is there anything that is pressing on your heart these days? And in the pressing of your heart, are you trying to do it yourself? Or are you letting God do it? Are you working overtime trying to figure it out yourself? Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Are you trying to be like me and trying to do it on your own strength? Or are you able to trust God? Are you losing sleep, rising early, sitting late, above whatever situation? This morning, give it to the Lord. I'll give it to Jesus. And as we sing this song, let's continue that act of surrender.
You alone Spirit, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you, Jesus, and I long to worship you. Oh, how I long to worship you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's lay down all those things that are pressing on us that we're trying to do in our own strength. You know, you are capable people. This is why this will be one of the biggest traps that you encounter, because you're so capable. Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, even the watchmen look out in vain. And so I want to just encourage you this morning, just to, whatever it is, you know, I know what mine is. Whatever it may be, maybe you're pressing the agenda on a bunch of things. Just lay it at God's feet and say, God, I just trust you. Lord, this is yours. It's not mine. This is your job. This is your relationship. This is your family. Whatever it may be is pressing on you, let's just give it to the Lord. Just trust Him. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's continue to pray for our friends that are battling cancer. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's just continue to press in for their health. Let's pray for our friends that are going through cancer, but also or other illnesses, but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing word in their life in terms of healing body, but also their soul. Let's pray for them to be saved. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's ask God for His healing word over them. Let's cover our friends that are looking for work. Let's ask for God's provision in their life. As they look for work now, that God would provide for them and also provide them with a job. Let's lift them up. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray today for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's start, with praying for Beijing. Let's just start with Thanksgiving. Last Sunday, they baptized 13 people at church there. It's just really amazing. And so let's just really thank God for the work that He's doing. Let's continue to lift up the leaders there. Pray for the Chung family as they try to figure out the next steps for them in their ministry in China. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, Leanne and her business and the endeavors that she's doing that would just continue to prosper. Pray for Edie Clark and her ministries there, the kids in Chichihar and the churches throughout China. Let's pray that the gospel will go forward in power. Let's just lift up our friends and those that are ministering in China. Let's pray for our staff. Now let's ask God's hand to be with our leaders. Pray for their ministries, their roles at church. Pray for their health, particularly, you know, Pastor Carol with her health issues. Pray for Pastor Gene, who's in Boston studying right now, that he would have a good week and a safe trip back to Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our staff and ask God to really use us, and that we would really work well to the glory of God. Let's pray. Let's pray for our worship and AV teams. Pray for a real heart of worship and serving and really excellence in everything they do regarding with music and the video and the sound and all these things, that God would really be pleased with what we offer to Him. And then through all that, the church would really rise up and worship before Him. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight, the Robinson West, Kennedy, Old Peak Road, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Sha Tin. Let's ask God's hand to be with them, a real favor of God as they study and talk and discuss about the message on Sunday. And let's just real pray for a spirit of unity and just grace that covers them. Let's lift them up. Father, we thank you for this time, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're in it, Lord, that you are the one that's building the house. Help us not to be striving, Lord, but to really work hard, but rest, God, and trust in you in the process. Lord, I pray that you teach us, God, that skill, the art. Lord, watch over us the rest of this day, God. Help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys this morning. Have a great time of prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow.